welcome to the 20 Minutes of Filler, episode 57. I am your host, Jason Katarski, and I am here with my friend and fellow game designer, Ryan Culler. How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. So you're out in California.
Yep.
You're making the magic happen out there.
Trying.
Cool. I'm in Michigan where it's gray and ugly and wet today. We've had rain, though, instead of snow, so that's a big bonus. So for those of you who don't know, Ryan and I have been together before on this podcast, and that was when we did a game together for Green Couch Games called Jurassic Attack. So I'm excited to have Ryan back with me. He's a cool game designer. He's a good dude. He does some other cool stuff, like one of them being pro wrestler.
That's right.
We just thought it'd be cool to kind of hang out and chat about what's been happening with Ryan since the Jurassic Attack Kickstarter, and talk about a game we recently got together to play in a kind of fun, unique way. So first, man, Jurassic Attack, your first game that was published is out now. How's that experience been for you so far? And I'm not saying that to get you to stroke my ego. I just really want to know how you're feeling about everything and what your experience has been.
It's been a really good experience. I'm typically a pretty hypercritical, kind of self-deprecating person. So I'm pretty critical of all my designs and that when everything kind of gets sent out to the public and the reviews start coming in, and it's always an experience that I just don't know which way it's going to go. No matter my opinion of the game, it's just always interesting to see stuff rolling in. But I've been pretty jazzed and happy about how Jurassic Attack has been received. I mean, I don't think I've had anybody seen or heard anybody say that it's crap or anything. Everything seems very positive and seems like people dig it, and they catch on to the stuff about the game that you and I think are really cool, and it's resonating, it's hitting with people.
Yeah, that is cool. We've gotten some good reviews and people that are like, oh, now that I've played this game, I see some of the subtleties in it.
Yeah.
I mean, like it sounds kind of dumb out of the box, like dinosaurs fighting, like, right? Like we weren't there, so we don't really know what that would have looked like.
and it's just cool to see, you know, like Brandon Kemp, his daughter still takes it to school with him.
Yeah, she packs
every day
it in her backpack. That's so cool.
Like that's so cool, and that's a you know, one of my favorite things about that design is it's adaptable. Like you can make that game as base and as simple as you want, or you can make it really strategic and complex, just depending on who you're playing with and, you know, how you want to view and play that game. It kind of changes the experience, which I think is really neat. But yeah, so far it's been a great experience. I love working with you and just seeing everything come together so effortlessly. Everything got delivered, you know, on time or slightly before, you know, when everything was promised to get out to backers. So it's really good. I'm very happy.
Well, I am happy to hear that, because I think we got a cool little game there to share with folks. So do you have any other, like, I don't like the Brandon, if he mentioned Brandon Kemp here, guys, but that's a reviewer. He does the What Did You Play Last This Week podcast, and he was an early reviewer of Jurassic Attack, and he was talking about his daughter carrying around a copy of the game everywhere she goes. Do you have any other cool, like, surprising kind of things that it, like, happened or that you're excited about, like, hearing or that you've been involved in or anything like that?
With as far as Jurassic Attack?
Yeah, with Jurassic Attack, yeah.
Well, I used a copy of Jurassic Attack in a wrestling match. the last Hood Slam show I wrestled in, I had the match stipulation is a Japanese console wars death match. So basically I brought in a bunch of, you know, old broken consoles. I had a Zelda shield that I got bashed over the head with. I got a bunch of loot crate boxes that I crashed my opponent into. So it's just a really ridiculous, crazy match stipulation, and in the middle of the match I took about 5 minutes, and I just thought it would be really fun to just plug Jurassic Attack in right in the middle of the match, I brought out a copy, got on the mic, made the pitch to everyone, and then proceeded to get on the top rope and bash my opponent in the head, double axe handle style, with the copy of Jurassic Attack, and then handed it out to someone in the crowd.
Dude, that's so awesome. You know, like, it's when I asked that question, I had totally forgotten about that picture online. Like, I wasn't trying to bait you about that cool story. But, like, that has got to be one of the coolest green couch stories, that we were in a legitimate wrestling match as a foreign object.
And like, I think it was a double first. I think it's – I mean, that's – I think that's the first time that a board game has been marketed in the middle – of a wrestling match. I think it's the first time that a sealed copy of a board game was used as a weapon, possibly. I mean, maybe might have been a weird Chikara match where one was used, but I think that was kind of a first in wrestling and a first in game design. I don't know if another game designer has been able to bash someone on the head with their game in the middle of a legitimate pro wrestling match.
Yeah, next week you're going to tune into WWE Raw on Monday night, and you're going to see somebody using a board game, because it's going to be, we're trendsetters over here.
Exactly, yeah. They'll watch the Hood Slam footage. They'll see it.
Oh, yeah, they're looking for talent all the time, I'm sure, right?
Nobody's
coming to them.
Oh, they want pissed off nerdy gamer.
Yes! Awesome, dude. So that is really funny. So here's a cool story. We had a new game cafe open up, like 10 minutes from my house, called the Card Table Republic, and it's just a board game lounge. Awesome. Yeah, it's cool. They have like 500 or 600 games right now, and it's really nice space, storefront and like a little strip mall, has nice tables and comfortable chairs. And the game library is still in progress, but they have like the ones like that you would expect. Like, they had like Dominion and Ticket to Ride and Settlers, and they had stuff like Dead of Winter, and they had some brand new stuff. They had Code Names. They had a ton of kids games and kind of mass market stuff. It was a really neat place. So, the owner's daughter was somebody that my wife and I went to high school with. So she was telling us about it. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. We should go over and check it out. They had their soft opening this last weekend. So I grabbed some games and took them some copies of Green Couch Games to donate to the library. And we sat down to play it was like a Spin Master. No, it was like I don't remember the name of the company. Wonder Forge, that's what it was. But they like make these like kids games, like Roll and Move Princess games and stuff. And that's what my kid picked off the shelf. You know, she's actually, that was my 3-year-old picked that one. My 6-year-old picked Operation, which I hadn't played in ages. So we grabbed these and we're like, cool, let's do this. Let's sit down and play Operation in this Princess Roll and Move game. And and while we're doing that, like, the owners and their kids who were there to help with the opening, we're the only ones in there at this point. We went about an hour before they closed. And they cracked open Jurassic Tech right off the bat, and were learning the games. They were super enthusiastic, and it was just awesome. It was just like they like, well, we got to get into this right now. We got to do this. So
give me some dinosaurs.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. It was cool to see them getting into that. So
very cool.
Yeah, so you designed Jurassic Tech, and now you're done, right? You're never gonna design another game, and that's it. You can retire.
Kick my feet up, go to Hawaii with all my sweet residual cash.
Oh yeah,
you know, just get my chateau finally. That Jurassic Attack money. No, I keep. I mean, whether or not anything will come of the games, I'm anything that pops into my head, I just keep working on stuff. So yeah, I have maybe 15 or 16 things that I'm working on simultaneously at various stages of terribleness or goodness.
That's but, awesome. Well, I know you have something that is close to goodness.
Yes.
That is going to be hitting Kickstarter soon, and it brings kind of your worlds together again. We kind of went with this like dinosaurs in a wrestling ring motif for Jurassic Attack, but like, this is your first actual wrestling game that's going to be published. So why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, thank you for the setup. Kind of a bucket list thing for me when I started fiddling with game design is like, man, I really want to get a pro wrestling game. Like, that would be great since I'm a pro wrestler, to have a pro wrestler make a pro wrestling game and have it get published. Like, and for years I've been really wanting to do it, but my expectations are so high for what I want that game to be, that all of my iterations and all my attempts at wrestling games just ended with me not being happy with it, and I toss them out. Recently, I mean, I came up with an idea for a micro wrestling game. So it's 18 cards. And I just, right off the bat, I thought it was super, it was a super dense game for it being 18 cards. There's a lot to it. I really kind of stretched what you can do with just 18 cards and make this really neat microcosm of a completely ridiculous wrestling experience. And super pumped about it. You know, I rarely get super excited about designs I'm working on, but when it's pro wrestling, it just I got really jazzed about it. And then Jason Tagmeyer with Button Shy, since he kind of specializes with all these wallet games, these micro games, took a look at it, and he wants to publish it. So coming in, it's most likely going to be May, but maybe June. He's still trying to figure out where to fit it in the lineup, but soon. Super Pocket League Extreme Wrestling will be hitting Kickstarter, and to shorten it up, you can just call the game Superplex Wrestling. So Pocket League Extreme Plex.
Well, so congrats about that, dude. That's exciting.
No, thank you. And I'm excited just because it's a wrestling game that I'm happy to have my name associated with it. It's something where there's some cool stuff going on in the game, and I'm not just saying it because it's my design. I'll take a crap on my own designs if necessary. But this one is actually really neat. And Jason and I are working on having a really neat campaign. There's a couple things in there that I think will be really neat and kind of unique for a wallet game campaign, because the theme of the game, it's not just like a normal wrestling or luchador game that you see kind of more often in the game space. This one is, the theme of this game is much more like 80s nostalgia with Muscle Men figures. I don't know if you ever collected or saw.
Oh yeah. I had a good lunchbox full of those when I was a kid.
So this then Superplex is basically my love letter to Muscle Men and Kinnikuman, which is the Japanese manga for them. It's kind of like my love letter to that kind of super ridiculous wrestling characters, awesome. in this wrestling space. So it's super ridiculous moves, really ridiculous character designs. Like we have, we have a guy who is a sentient box of takeout Chinese box, and his name is Kafood Lu. That we're kind of playing with. So it's going to be super fun. I'm super jazzed about it, and we're getting everything locked in and set up to hopefully let that boat sail and open that Kickstarter in May or June.
That's awesome, dude. So what's like the 30-second hook about what is the heart of this game?
So it's a tactical wrestling game where ring positioning, there's two cards that make up a ring. You're moving your opponent around the ring. You're trying to get them into spots to where you can pull certain move combos. It's a scaling. Each card, each move in the game has four different effects that it can do depending on where it is in a move combo. So if a card is a third hit in a combo, it'll do a much different effect than if it was the first hit in a combo. So everything kind of scales. So you're trying to feel out what your opponent is going to play, trying to counter their moves and trying to keep, trying to get a big combo so that you can get the maximum amount of effect and knock your opponent out. But as the game progresses, as your stamina goes down and you're closer to being defeated, you get to introduce your finisher card into your maneuver lineup so that the danger of the weaker you are, the more dangerous you can be by hitting a finisher out of nowhere will increase. There's a lot of a good depth with this game because the ring positioning and there's a little bit of a rock, paper, scissors aspect to the game with countering, which is pretty standard for, I think, wrestling games a lot and kind of the tabletop space have some type of rock, paper, scissors aspect to them, just because that mechanic goes so well with wrestling.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's a good tactical combat game that plays in about 10-15 minutes. We're working on also having a tag team expansion. So the base game will support two people, and then you can get a expansion pack with six cards possibly that'll bump it up so that you can have a four player tag team match.
That sounds awesome, dude. I can't wait to play it, man.
Yeah, I'll be getting you one to test out once we get everything locked in before Umpub.
Sweet, sweet. So, speaking of other wrestling games,
yes,
we did this cool thing the other day. Ryan's in California, as we mentioned, and I'm here in Michigan. We decided that we would give we both had kind of been checking out this WWE Superstar Showdown from Gale Force 9 for a while, and I watched a review of it, and I'm like, hey, Ryan, I think we could play this game on Skype. Because the
and
game
you were
is
correct.
Yeah, and it worked really well. So we got together the other day and played a game of WWE Superstar Showdown, which for me at first I was like, I don't know, there's miniatures, it's a big box. I mean, when I say big box, it's like 10 inches by 10 inches. It's like a standard board game box, but I'm into those portable boxes. I'm into those little teeny small boxes. So, and it has minis in it. So I'm like, I don't know. This is probably going to be too much. It's going to be too much of a game for me. It's going to take too long. But then I watched this video, and there's a game board. There's some cards. There's six different wrestlers in the box with their own little miniature. And the game board is essentially just the ring with a grid. Each character has their own deck. So when I realized that, like, we're not using a common deck and that we each would have our own deck, I'm like, that's how it would work on Skype. We just got to, like, play our own decks and tell each other what's happening and move each other's figures around the board. So we had a blast. And Was I Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, you were Daniel Bryan, and I was John Cena, because I don't like losing.
Nice, but unfortunately, spoiler.
I jobbed.
Yeah, you totally lost, bro.
Put the jobber tights on and
the pro wrestler. He either took a fall because his publisher was playing against him, or John just didn't have what it took.
Yeah, he got knocked out.
Yeah, he hasn't been spending enough time in the gym. He's been spending too much time making movies, and you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Time to move on to the younger generation. I agree.
Totally. So what were your kind of thoughts about how Superstar Showdown worked?
I thought it worked really well. It's a great integration of the theme. You really have this tactical feel to where, you know, ring positioning counts on the ring board. There's some decisions to be made, but it's light. You know, there's enough luck involved with the decisions to where this game can be very casual, player friendly. You know, it could still be kind of an entry level game for someone just looking to have a fun way to spend, you know, 20-30 minutes, and they're interested in wrestling. And there's enough depth there because they have like stipulation cards and different type of matches that you can do that will change some of the rules in the game and the objectives. So it's like you can play this game like we did, where it's just a straight, you know, vanilla first to pinfall or knockout match. Or if you really want to get into it, you can do team warfare with six players and add stipulations into it and just make it, you know, an hour long, you know, game where it's kind of like a tactical war game where you're moving these pieces. And it's there are some really interesting, you know, things going on with some of the decisions in the game, but it's simple enough to where it's all digestible.
Yeah, I mean, it was super, super quick. I mean, so that's why we're allowed to talk about it on this show, right? Because it's like it out of the box with that head-to-head match, it felt like a filler. Like it was just a few rules. There were some icons to keep track of and movement rules and like, well, what happens when this happens? But like the rule book was really well written. So I was flipping back and forth. Like, okay, now I picked this card. So it says I can do this. What does that mean again? But I felt like for the first game, it was like it was a very smooth game, and I love that the potential like the so each wrestler is a little bit different. For some reason, John Cena was doing like a lot of corner moves where he would run out of the corner at you, which were his high spots, which I'm not sure was you didn't feel like that was very authentic to John Cena's character.
It's not super Cena-ish. I mean, he doesn't come off the top rope that much, but yeah, he had a lot of corner moves and a lot of kick-out moves, which is more Cena-esque, because I was
Yeah.
kicking out of a lot of stuff.
That's true. 'Cause I kept pinning you and you kept kicking out, man.
Yeah, I had the worst luck with the moves that I chose. I mean, I just kept losing round after round to the mighty Daniel Bryan slash Tarski connection, and I just kept kicking out of them mofos.
It's all in the beard. It's all in the beard.
That's right. You had this energy there.
So here's kind of like the rundown of how the game works. So you set up your figures in the middle of the ring, and you have your deck of cards, and you have these spaces in front of you that are 1, 2, 3, and each of the and those are spaces for your cards. So you draw 6 cards at the beginning of a round, and you choose 3 of them to place face down in the 1, 2, 3 spot. And each card has a couple different pieces of information on it. So the first one is it's either a slam card, a grapple card, a maneuver
Strike.
card, or a strike, right? And within those things, like those different colors and those different keywords, that's where paper, rock, scissors happens. So we place our cards face down, and then the first card gets revealed at the same time, mine and my opponent's. And then we look at the color stripe on those cards and see who wins in paper, rock, scissors. Grapple beats strike, strike beats maneuver, maneuver beats grapple, and then slam beats everything,
It's a
right?
trump, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of the trump card. So then whoever wins the paper, rock, scissors round gets to keep their card and resolve the 2, 1 to 3 actions that are on the bottom, and the other person's card goes to the discard pile. So those actions on the bottom, you can play them or not. You go up to their maximum number or less. But there are things like move, strike. There's a reversal that allows you to take it, play another card if you lose the paper, rock, scissors. There's a corner move. There's momentum moves. So there's a bunch of simple little things that are also there's a little key on the board that helps you remember what those things are. But then you can do those in any order. So, I might move 2 steps, and if I'm next to you, I can attack you and deal damage, which comes from either you hand a block card to me and it goes out of your deck and won't be recycled into it, or you have to take that amount of cards from your hand or from your draw deck and discard them out of the game. So it goes into my performance pile. So essentially, if you take damage, you are losing you're losing your deck. You're losing strength. And if your deck runs out, you're knocked out or you get pinned. After resolving those first 1, 2, 3 cards that we play, whoever had successfully won the paper, rock, scissors aspect more, so whoever has 2 to 1 or 3 to 1 or 3 to none, I guess.
Which is
Yeah.
more often the case, but
If
regardless.
you're right, if you're adjacent and had won more rounds, more cards during the round, then you can pin that person. And a pin is just either somebody has to play a kickout card from their hand or they have to take cards off their deck and count 1, 2, 3, flipping them over 1 at a time and hope that they get a kickout card. So if you don't have any kickouts in your hand and you're about to get pinned, you could lose this game in the first like 3 minutes to 5 minutes of the game. Which, hey, that's the way that wrestling goes sometimes, right? So yeah, so it's like I mean that's essentially the flow of the game, and I took that and I played that with my 6-year-old. We played half the game. She was a little distracted, but like she watches wrestling with me sometimes, so she thought it was kind of cool. And then I had to do something else, so we had to wrap the game up early. But like she was able to handle it, the basics without putting her combos together, in like super intense ways, or really thinking about like, well, I'm next to this person, so I want to move first, kind of organizing your hand. There's as much depth there as you want to have, I think, in your planning.
Exactly.
Or you can just play
Which
it
is cool.
like she essentially, I mean, she's a very smart kid, but she was my robot, right? Like I was just gonna try to pick stuff and I was gonna have to respond to what she did. And she was, so like that was kind of a fun way to just try some of the concepts out. Man, cool game. And it's like, you know, 40, $50, really nice component quality. The theme is there. Did you feel like the theme came through? I mean, obviously we were wrestling, right?
Yeah, I mean the theme came through. I mean, that's I dig wrestling tabletop games in general just 'cause yeah, they're all pretty fun. I mean, wrestling is a fun thing. So, you know, watching it and playing with it just the theme integration was pretty well done. The separate decks for each wrestler is a nice touch. So you really feel connected to the deck that you're using and that it's somewhat appropriate, although the corner moves for Cena's weird, but most of the time, I mean, there's, you know, each wrestler has their gimmick with their move cards. It's kind of like their specialty, whether it's closing distance on somebody or momentum moves or more kickouts than normal.
Right.
It's just a really neat, it was a neat design.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
so it's definitely worth checking out. I actually played with Eric that evening after we played, and I was Big E and he was Cena. And Cena won. Cena won.
Oh man.
And it was funny. Eric had to. He pulled out his phone and he pulls out John Cena's rap
Music.
video to like his entrance and like. And he's like, at first he's like, I don't care about your wrestling game. They don't want to play your wrestling game. And then like he's like, all right, if I can be John Cena, we'll play. And then and he beat me. And he walked away liking it too. And Big E, like, you're right. Like that he was all about momentum. Like you get that dude moving. He's like a freight train, you know.
Yeah.
So he had a ton of momentum moves. And what's cool, a momentum move is like you can bounce off the ropes, and every space you walk back towards that the place where you end up attacking, you get one damage for however far away. Like you, so that's one of the
Yeah,
other
so
things.
that.
You like you bounce off the ropes seamlessly. It feels very intuitive. Like you go to the ropes, of course you can bounce to it. You can bounce to the other side. You can get yourself positioned from bouncing off the ropes. Like it was what I hoped for. Even better because it was so simple to get into, and I still like have a ton of game to play here because I've only played with two of the wrestlers and I
Yep.
haven't done any of the special matches. I haven't played with multiple players, and then there's going to be more wrestler packs coming out from what I understand. So
That's awesome. And it's just, I mean, what else can you say other than it scratches that itch, right? You have
yeah.
an itch to play a wrestling game, like this takes care of it. Like it does it really well and it makes you satisfied for that experience.
Yeah, for sure. I guess the when it was released at Gen Con last year, they were about to release a promo to give away, and it was Hulk Hogan, and it was right when all the stuff went
The hubbub.
down. That his
Yeah.
video came out with him saying some inappropriate things, and they kind of erased him from WWE history. So they couldn't even show anybody what the mold looked like.
Oh,
They
man.
and they had to like they had already been made, so they couldn't sell them. But they're gonna come up with. I heard they're coming out with like a classic pack, of
Oh,
like
I'm all
two
over
to four.
Macho.
Oh, dude, yeah, it's gonna be awesome. I'm hoping
We'll
for
fight over Macho.
maybe a little steamboat. If I can get a steamboat, dude, I'm all
Oh,
over it.
dude, we'll do it. We'll do WrestleMania 3 match. I have known.
Hope it comes with a bell card, right?
Please, I know, to the throat. Coming straight for Dragon.
Well, and this is a big box game, and it's gonna be fun. And it scratches that wrestling itch, and hopefully you guys will be watching Kickstarter in the next month or so for Superplex, which will scratch that pocket itch, right? So
It
it's
will.
Super Pocket League Extreme Wrestling, right?
Yes,
Button
Super
Shy
Pocket League
Games,
Extreme Wrestling.
Ryan Cowler, Shaz Young is doing your art again.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yep,
so
Chaz, always work with Chaz, so
yeah,
he's my bro.
the same artist from Jurassic Attack as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of those goofy wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that we hope to be talking about more games from you in the future, and maybe hopefully we'll get to work together again soon.
Hopefully, yes, I'd love to.
Awesome. Well, hey, when, how, what, who, where, how can people get a hold of you? How can they find out more about what you're up to?
You can follow me on Twitter at The Fierce Punch. I don't post too often, but usually I'll get tagged in some Hood Slam stuff. And Hood Slam's the wrestling promotion out in Oakland, California here that I wrestle for. So I'm usually tagged and posting different various musings at different points in time. But if you want to get a hold of me, that's probably the best way.
Cool.
And just, yeah, at The Fierce Punch. And if you're interested in some really weird wrestling stuff, there's Hood Slam in Oakland, California. And the website is birdswillfall.com. Super weird name for a website.
It's
an Ahmed Johnson reference, super obscure wrestling reference. But it's birdswillfall.com, and it's a 21 and over wrestling show, so it's not a kid friendly organization, but it's super fun.
if you're not in the California area, you can there's a documentary on Amazon from when they were first getting started called This Is Real, right? Hood Slam.
Yep.
And so you can rent it there, and Ryan is in that momentarily, but it is totally not something that is okay to watch when there are kids around.
Yes.
or for those who are weak of heart. So, but yeah, check out his wrestling stuff. He's a cool dude, and they got some goofy stuff going on over there. Be watching for that game. Check out Jurassic Attack. We'd love it if you picked up a copy and shared it with your friends. 2-player dinosaur battle game. It's fun for everybody.
Leave a review on BGG.
Totally rate it 1,000,000. You know. Or whatever, or an honest review. That's cool too. Until next time, you can find me on Twitter as well at Jason Kotarski or at Green Couch Games. And we hope you get out there and play some great little games.
Thank you.